Good morning, everyone. This is the regular meeting of the Security Committee for Rancho Marietta Community Service District, March 4th at 10 a.m. We'll call this to order. Item number two, comments from the public. Do you have any hands or anything?
I do not.
Amelia? Okay. Moving on to number three, which is monthly updates. And so I think we'll send that over to Tina, if I'm not mistaken.
Good morning, everyone. Just want to provide operations update. We still have PDF security supporting our security gate and patrol until vacancies are filled. On that note, we have a patrol officer that will be starting on March 16th. He comes from Sac City School District, and we're excited to bring him on. He will be a good fit for the community. And we're still awaiting answers to offers for the gate officer. So, on the next item, we're still the Ford Ranger is at the shop, still having items installed on it. That was taken in a couple weeks ago. And for the body-worn cameras, the server and the software have been installed, and we can now view body-worn camera footage.
Hey, Tina, this is Tom. Can you tell me if you have an ETA on the Ford Ranger?
I don't have one as of yet. I'll check on that. Should be done pretty soon, though. It went into the shop on the 17th, but there was a lot of things that they were installing on it, so.
Tina, can we just chat for a second on the body camera program?
Sure.
So one of the things, when it was identified, the flaws in the system we were using before, was really using this as a training device and those types of things. So I guess my question to you would be, we probably have to kind of look at that again, since there was no formal audits, records of audits being done, any of those types of things. So just kind of on our to-do list, maybe we figure out a process of quarterly, semi-annual type of CQI audits, et cetera, if that makes sense.
Yep, we can do that.
Periodic okay, reviews. Thank you.
Amelia, would you please mute everybody and then turn on Tina's mic, please?
Go ahead, Tina.
And we're looking at reinstating the program for issuing county citations for parking, handicap, and fire zone violations. We did meet with Lieutenant McCulloch with the Sheriff's Department, and we are awaiting some information from the lieutenant in regards to possibly using auto sites if we can. And then in the meantime, we will notify the community that we are going to do this with the sites. We did receive the citations from Sac County already, so we're ready to go on that. And then we will have some training with the patrol officers on how we are going to go about issuing those sites, including some of the ordinances that we are not going to cite on, as well as having a photo required when we do write a citation, such as if somebody parks in a handicap spot, then we're going to take a picture of it. So if it is disputed, it's clear with a photograph that the violation did occur. So we'll be looking at that and doing that soon.
And then, Tina, I don't mean to interrupt. I think the coordination to get the information out to the public and then also to the commercial folks as well will be critical. So maybe you pick an operational date that you decide we're going to implement, and then we can just start working backwards, informing people whether there needs to be a grace period or not. You know, you can determine that and let us know. And we can then work back through all of our systems for communication out to the public.
Yep, that sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, and...
Hey, Tina, excuse me, I want to go back there for a second. You're talking about using the Sheriff's Department auto site system?
Yes.
Are we talking about buying an auto site to use, or are we talking about renting it from them or leasing it from them, or are they going to just let us use it?
That's what Lieutenant McAuliffe was going to check into to see if they would be able to provide those to us. So.
I would be interested in Director Mabee's comments on or thoughts on the fact that we want to start doing more enforcement in the commercial area. Are you supportive of us taking on this? It's not a new responsibility. It's a responsibility we quit handling about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago for I don't know any good reason, but we just stopped doing it. But to me, doing this type of enforcement within the commercial area and the area on this side of the freeway or the highway is a positive, especially given the fact that we have a lot more new visitors because of the Raley's and the Starbucks and stuff. What are your thoughts on that, Director Mabee?
I think two things. One, if you would have asked me this a year ago, I would have said I would be opposed to it. I think that there's the leadership in place that we can get the consistency that we're going to need to have, because that's really going to be the critical component, is purely the consistency. I think as we move forward, and kind of what I was asking Tina was, you know, if we pick a July 1 date, for example, we can get all the training done, the expectation. And again, the communications has to go all the way out to the Sheriff's Department. So as they get complaints, you know, no one's surprised type of thing. And we can work from that standpoint. I agree with you. It is a area of responsibility that we've had for a while. We've been not performing it. I think it's really back to yourself and the security supervisor to say, yes, we have the maturity within the organization to resume this responsibility. I feel very comfortable with the leadership right now taking this task or tasks on. And again, it'll be one of those that just gets reported out, and it fits into our normal time on task security operations.
Okay, thank you.
Next item is the final policy reviews for the body worn cameras that was approved. However, there was a question by
citizens.
By Richard Gears about the different redlined versions of the policy. Tom, do you want to talk about that?
But I think what our plan would be would be to just post the different versions on the internet for some time, because basically we had a version that we put a bunch of red lines through that resulted in a proposed final. And that's what was posted. And then our attorney chimed in and wanted to clean up some of the language for logistical purposes, nothing substantive, just kind of semantics for changing some wording. And so that resulted in another red line version, and then there'll be another final version. So I think we need to provide that intermediate red line version. And I think Amelia, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Amelia, but didn't we talk about putting that on our webpage in the area of the minutes or something for security
That's exactly what we were going to do, because the person asked about it at the board meeting in February. And so we said that we would report it out in the next board packet at the next board meeting. So I was going to put it in the consent calendar under, I was going to do the February 17th board meeting minutes, then all the versions of the policy, and then continue on to the next chronological minutes.
Okay, that works.
Okay.
Is that, Richard, does that meet your expectations? I know you're on the line.
Yeah. All I'm interested in seeing is what changes Mr. Shanahan made.
Absolutely. Okay. We can do that.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm done with that.
All right, next line item is the implementation of informational bulletins. So these are kind of like be on the lookout for type of bulletins where we need information on events that are occurring in the community that would help us out in trying to identify violators or suspects, so to speak. And I have issued two informational bulletins in the month of February. One was for the...
And they're both in the packet too. I'm gonna go
down. Yeah, let's bring up the packet. The first one is for the rash of vandalisms that we had throughout the district. I issued this one on February 22nd. And this is in regards to someone throwing items into Calero Reservoir and Lake Chesbro, which are our drinking water sources. We've had previous incident where somebody decided they wanted to go for wheeling by Lake Calero or Calero Reservoir and got stuck in the mud out there as well, very close to the water line. There are laws in place, not only district codes, but state laws as well as other laws available to us to do something about it. So we have our Water District Code, Chapter 14, Section 3.17, Subsection 4, about waste prohibited in lakes and reservoirs. And then there's also the California Health and Safety Code, 116750A. And that is any person who tampers with a public water system is guilty of a felony. So that gives us more to work with when people are throwing things in the lake, such as the portable toilet that was thrown into the lake. This behavior is unacceptable. So I wanted to put this out to see if anybody would try to maybe contact us anonymously, anything like that. I have not received any phone calls or anything like that. No messages in regards to this. So as of yet, there is no identifiable suspect on this, on these rash of vandalisms. So one of the solutions for that is we have been in discussions with RMA about putting up cameras around the area, which they will be doing. And there's going to be two cameras and a license plate reader installed out there. So anybody that goes in and out through the entrance area, the license plate reader will capture their license plate from the front and back. And hopefully those will be installed soon in regards to this. There's other solutions too. We're gonna talk with Kevin today at RMA, and one of my suggestions is to put up some signage around the reservoirs and lakes in regards to this, advising that there are consequences basically to such behaviors. I also put something out in the pipeline, and I sent these informational bulletins also out to RMA as well as to the River Valley Times in regards to these as well, because the more publicity we can get on it, hopefully somebody would come forward to assist us with this and at least educate the community as well that we're not going to tolerate this behavior. I have some other solutions we'll discuss in a little bit as well. And then the second one I have is for a hit and run that occurred on February 13th, where a resident pedestrian was walking along Murrieta North Parkway. Can you?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Caught up in what
from the saying. North exit gate, and a white vehicle was traveling south out of the north exit gate and struck the pedestrian. So the license plate reader did not catch this particular vehicle because it does not cover that lane that the vehicle is in right there, which technically is the bike lane. The license plate reader only covers the two lanes, the number one and the number two lanes. Basically, this driver in the vehicle fled onto Jackson Road, and we don't have any further information on it. CHP did respond, and they took a report on it. We have reviewed hours and hours of video footage on this, as far as something similar to this vehicle going into the gates, trying to figure out what type of vehicle it is. And as you can see from the picture, it's quite blurry, and I can't even tell from this view or the side view that we do have if it's a two-door or four-door, or the make or model of the vehicle. We've reviewed video of cars going into the North Gate from previous days and have not been able to locate anything so similar. So I put out this bulletin to see if we could get any assistance from the community as well, and I haven't received anything, any information about this one. But at least it's out there, so maybe if somebody can see a similar vehicle. And again, I put it out to RMA, the gate officers, the patrol officers, River Valley Times for distribution. All right, and any questions or comments on that?
I don't have any chats or any hands raised.
Okay, I'm going to continue to do informational bulletins on hot items like this to distribute to the community, just to see if we can get any help with different incidents that occur out here in Rancho Murrieta. All right, on to the next item, Rancho Murrieta Association activity. We still respond to general calls for service. We do the general non-ARC enforcement, stop sign enforcement, speed enforcement. And we're continuing to work with RMA to see about setting up some additional stop sign enforcements, because with that, they would like us to use video and submit it to the compliance committee for the violations on that. So
Tina, can I interject something right there?
Yes.
So on the stop sign enforcement, the request for video is several years old. And CSD has not been able to be consistent in using the video equipment that was supplied by RMA. Also to that point, similar with the LIDAR, it hasn't been used in the past in a consistent manner. So I think going back, setting the expectations again is definitely the right step in moving this direction. Again, I think as you move forward with this and we coordinate with RMA where the speed trailers are, where we do stop sign enforcement, speed enforcement, that gets coordinated. And again, I don't know if you take the lead role in the areas or if we have RMA do it, but I know that the requests of video, much like the LIDAR, are several years old, and we just have not been consistent in being able to provide that service to RMA. So thank you.
Yes, no problem. And just for clarification on the stop sign enforcement, it really requires two people to do it, because You need someone writing down the information and then somebody taking good video of it. So I'll be working with Sergeant Tompkins on that to do that during the daytime.
Correct. Okay.
A little more difficult in the evening time because of the lighting conditions and the inability to get the license plates, makes and models of the vehicle on the cameras as well as the video for that because of the low lighting. So we're also looking at other types of cameras with RMA. We did have that discussion with them in a meeting a couple weeks ago to see what we could do about that.
Nope, that works. Thank you.
All right. And then I already talked about the cameras for Lake Calero. Watchdog Security will be providing the installation and services for this project, and RMA is overseeing this. And then Murrieta Village activity, we do our regular patrol out there, respond to the usual calls for service as well. As for the village entry cameras, it's still in the installation process by Watchdog Security. And that goes in line with the Rancho Murrieta Commercial Owners Association activity, again, in regards to the surveillance cameras on Murrieta Drive, same thing. Installation is in process with this. And Olaf with Watchdog Security was working with the Murrieta Village manager in regards to setting up the cameras and all of that over there as well. Any questions on that? All right. And next item is incidents of note for the month of February. We have the hit and run accident on February 13th. We discussed that already. February 18th, we had some vandalisms at Stonehouse Park. There were some obscene pictures drawn into fresh concrete. Investigation is pending identification of a possible suspect. Because the person did put some names into the concrete along with the obscene pictures. The damage estimate was around $4,000 if RMA had to remove and re-pour the concrete in that particular area if they weren't able to do that. I don't have an update on what they were doing with that. And then also, same time frame in the 7100 block of Murrieta Parkway, the RMA radar trailer was vandalized as well. It appears an alcoholic beverage container was thrown at the trailer and the broken glass was used to scratch the lens of the radar portal window. So on February 19th, there was an auto burglary. It appears to have been an auto burglary at the Murrieta Inn and Spa. We located a vehicle with a broken window and items misplaced in the vehicle. And the business was supposed to attempt to locate the owner of the vehicle to refer them to the sheriff's department for a report. February 20th, golf cart theft at Murrieta Inn and Spa. And we have a photo of this golf cart. It's very specific. So it looks like it's a blue golf cart, but it's actually charcoal gray, and it says Belmont Training on it. So it's a gray golf cart with a black top. It was stolen from the front of the hotel, and the victim was visiting from out of the area. Sheriff's Department came out for that report as well.
Is that thieving little puppy behind bars?
I was just going to ask, that's not the suspect, is it?
No, that's not the suspect.
Okay, I just asked a question.
February 19th and 20th is when that Calero Reservoir on the Lake Chesbro vandalism occurred, where a portable toilet was thrown into the lake. Sorry, I can't talk today. As well as a garbage can. There was a picture of the garbage can during daylight that was pulled out of Calero as well. And then you'll see a little, the orange thing that has rope around it, that was found in Chesbro, same night. All items were removed from the lakes. The portable toilet had been serviced earlier in the day, so there was most likely very minimal waste that would have been leaked. And yeah. And as you can see, there's another photo of our tractor equipment pulling out the portable toilet.
Tina, can we make sure that we called out the cost associated with our staff being called in on overnight, special call out, overtime and stuff, and the use of the tractor?
Sure.
And I see that Paul's on the line. I don't want to put him on the spot. Can we make sure that we have a cost associated with that? So if we do find some who's responsible, we can bill them for that.
Yeah, we don't need the cost right now, but I would agree with that. I think moving forward, as we have these information bulletins, just like what you were talking about, Tina, on the hours of staff time reviewing the video footage, I think we just come up with a standardized process and how we account for it. And then if there are issues or we come across, in this case, the individual or individuals, then we just move forward with what our reimbursement costs would be.
Okay. And on February 25th, we had a paraglider that was trespassing in the district. At 11:55 a.m., a paraglider was reported in an empty field north of the OE3, and he was trespassing on private property. And then after that, the Northgate officer observed the paraglider land in the lawn area next to the RMA building. Sheriff's Department responded, and the trespasser was given a written trespass warning. And as you can see, there is a photo of him.
I think that's a first for out here. So I'd be interested on where he actually launched from.
He launched from behind the storage units over by the airport. So he was actually parked on airport property.
Got it.
Sorry to interrupt, Tina.
He was actually from West Sacramento. He decided somehow to come over to Rancho Murrieta to do this.
Well, that's nice of him. Thank you.
And then patrol coverage for the month of February, all shifts were covered during the month. There was no lapse in coverage at all.
Okay, which takes us to the two informational bulletins we've already gone over. And then the next 61, I think, pages are the daily incident logs.
Mm-hmm. So we have the daily incident logs. Any questions or comments on that?
I have no hands raised, no chats.
All right. And okay. Next item is the RMA site summary, the violation summary report.
Which I think is probably...
So we have two motor vehicle violation sites issued. We had 8 parking sites issued, and that's what we have for the month so far.
And so this was the month of February.
That's in the month of February. And then next item is going to be the gate entries reports. We had a total of 61 denied entries. And if you look at it, the vendor after hours, most of those were actually from February 15th. And that was a holiday. So many, many vendors were turned away. And we did have some upset residents and vendors as well. And then gate entries, any questions on that?
I have no chats, no hands up.
Tina, I do have a question. In the document that's gonna follow, the one that's it's cases broken down by type.
Yes.
There we have refused entry at 61. Okay. And so that is just the combination of all the gate access denied, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Perfect. Okay. Answer my question. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. And then the gate entries by type here, we had a total of 12,529 entries into the north and south gates there. Okay. And then the next one is our case summary report, which does include the refused entries. I don't have a way to remove that from our case report, but our total cases was 292.
No, and thank you. I think that this case report, it's just a checks and balance to all the data is where it's at. I think it's one of those, and I know you're going to have some conversation with the RMA staff, and this might be that process that we start providing this over to the compliance committee so that they get a better snapshot of what's going on. And now that you're participating in that committee, I think not necessarily you having to deliver the information, but you would be able to get this information to them. That way we can see what the entire system, the association's doing, what CSD's doing within the association, and for RMA to get a full view of all the trends in the community. So I would think this would be this document and what you're providing on the gate entry. That gives RMA some information for them to potentially change some of their procedures, specifically on gate entry and the vendors and those things. So I think that how you're bringing the information together now needs to get over to them so that they can start making some decisions and assisting us with some things that we know are automatic daily type activities that can be automated.
Yep, sounds great. All right. And next on the agenda is the Security Service Opinion Survey schedule. Tom?
Yeah, that's on me. Are you ready to move on, Tim?
Yes, if I don't, do we have any hands or anything, Amelia?
No hands, no chats.
Perfect. Then we're going on to number four, and that's the Security Service Opinion Survey schedule, which I think it, well, I know it's being dealt with over on the Finance Committee. So,
right. And this is just an update to the Security Committee because of, you know, sometimes people listen to some meetings and not others. And since this has a lot to do with security, I want to keep the Security Committee updated. We met, Director Pohl and I met with the awardee of the company called True North. They're out of Encinitas, California. They were awarded the contract to conduct the security opinion poll to see what the potential would be to conduct and to hold a referendum vote to change how we fund security here at the district. This was an introductory meeting with the owner of the company, Timothy McLarney. And Director Pohl and I spent 2 hours on the phone with them. We talked about how we're going to introduce this poll to the community and how we're most of the time was spent talking about the work groups. So our expectation is Mr. McLarney is going to put together a little bit more of a formal plan schedule. We're going to be providing him with a bunch of financial information. The idea is to try to get to the point where the poll can be as simple as possible, and it will be based primarily on the outcome of the working group teams. At this time, it looks like we're gonna have four or five work groups, and each group will be in the range of 8 to 10 people. They won't be duplicated from any of the groups. And with Mr. McLarney's counsel and advice, it looks like the work groups are gonna be a mixture instead of having a work group just for the commercial area or just for the gardens or just for the village or just for the north or the south. He thinks it's in his experience, and which is why we hired him to give us his experience. He thinks that it's a better idea to on each working group to have a combination of people from the different parts of the district to get a flavor. And that allows the people in the village to also understand what the voters in the north or the south or the commercial are also thinking. It becomes a productive discussion that way. And we're expecting to be prepared to start announcing what the work grouping options are going to be in pretty much as soon as we finish the budget, which will probably be early April. And so possibly we could hold, and the work group, by the way, will be in person, and possibly schedule those meetings towards the end of April, and then hopefully do the poll in May or June. And then kind of from there, go forward. If things go to the point where we think it's going to be worthwhile to go out to the voters with a referendum to either enhance or replace Measure J, we'll be making that decision sometime in the early fall. So that's my update. I'm available to answer some questions, but this is more or less what it is right now. It's just the beginning parts of actually putting together the schedule and identifying the work group timing and such as that. Are there any questions?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Amelia, do you have any hands up?
Nope. No chat. Hands raised.
Oh, I see one chat, but what is that? Oh, okay.
That's just possible an amount of cost on how much time was spent taking the porta potty out of the lake, the reservoir.
Thank you, then.
That takes care of item number four. So item number five, I believe, Tina, you covered that, unless there's something else we need to throw in there under item five, plans to issue county citations.
No, everything was covered under there. We're still okay. Working.
Thank you. And I would say as you start this process, and again, it doesn't have to be a hard date, but we just set that date, start working backwards, because I think it's going to come as a surprise to a lot of residents, and it very well is going to affect a lot of non-residents as well. And so we just need to have that prep time. But you know what you're doing. So why am I even chatting? So thank you. Okay, on to item number six. Any suggestions, comments from staff? Not all at once.
I just want to continue to say that I appreciate the fact that Tina is with us and that we are in the process of going forward with attempting to hire a permanent replacement for Tina, but she's definitely adding value at a quick and efficient rate to the district security services. So thank you, Tina.
And then I do have one more thing to add. So
yes, go ahead.
To the issues with the lakes and vandalisms occurring, things like that. Some of the solutions I'm looking at include looking at the sheriff's department to do hire back in the summertime, as well as possibly on Fridays and Saturdays when these incidents keep occurring. And that was also the same time frame as well with the golf cart theft. That was also on a Friday, Saturday morning. Looking at extra patrol, authorizing some OT as needed, maybe a Friday or a Saturday, like a Friday night, and have an extra patrol officer out there so there's two people out and attempt to be visible out there, because visibility is a deterrent, as well as being able to check the lakes more often with more than one person there. And like I said before, having more signage and continuing with the informational bulletins and continuing with the community education in the pipeline, working with RMA so they can get it out to residents as well.
Thank you. I think a couple of things. The community start to see that the leadership at all levels of CSD is now starting to be able to look forward as opposed to everything was in the rear, and we were having to clean up things. So I think as you move forward, Tina, and you and I have briefly discussed this, I think as you look and evaluate what the community needs are, it just hasn't been done in a comprehensive manner, not necessarily a total threat assessment type of evaluation, but just really what's the expectation of the community for security and security for the community. And I think everything you just described are the items that we need to just get in process. Some of them are going to be generational. The names of kids that are underage driving in the golf carts will stay for a while and then they become 16. And so it's just a continuous cycle, but we just have to have processes in place that we're consistent with. So, and I echo Tom's sentiment as well. The leadership that we have and the direction that we're going is nice to see because we're finally getting the consistency that we need. And that's going to make a huge difference as we move forward on how we deal with our customers at all the areas that we serve within the district. So with that, Amelia, do you have any other hands or chats or anything?
I do not.
In that case, I have... what time do I have? I have 10:41 and we're going to adjourn the meeting. I want to thank staff for all the work that's being done and everyone have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.